Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We're starting a series today called Blessed. Blessed. And every year we do come around the topic of finance, because when you sit in my position, you actually see how limiting finance can be for people. You know, people in our church would like to live in a certain place. They would like to send their children to a certain place. There's a certain lifestyle that they would like to live. And believe me, we're not even talking about an opulent lifestyle, just a lifestyle that is stress-free. And a lot of that comes around this topic of finance. And it would be wrong. Jesus often spoke about finance because he was always trying to help people in this area of their life. And when you think about it, most of us went through schooling, and then some of us went through university. Why? To get a job. And why do you get a job? So that you can earn an income. And so it's a huge part of our life. And so we want to speak into that. And I've learned something about this church. Even if you're new here today, I know something about you. You're a generous person. But often we're not generous because we don't have. And it's very difficult to be generous when you don't have something. And so I know something about you guys. If you had more, you would actually give more to the people around you, to the people in your world, to each other as husband and wife and down to your children. I just know you would. Let's be honest. That's who we are, isn't it? But often what limits us is we don't have the resource we need. So let's turn to the Word and let's see what God says about this. And I'm telling you, you're going to be incredibly encouraged. And for some of us, you're going to be really challenged, because where you're at is not where God is at. I'm telling you right now, where God is at is better than where we are at. And he always, listen, God always lifts us up. He never pulls us down. Okay, God doesn't need to pull us down. We couldn't have got any further down before God came into our world, right? So God's always trying to lift us up. So I want to ask us all a question. And this is the question. I love this question. What would our lives look like? What would we believe if you were to give your life to Jesus and you wanted to go on a journey with God, and I handed you a Bible, and then we sent you away for a year to a deserted island? Couldn't talk to anybody, can't podcast, can't watch YouTube, can't watch any clips, can't talk to anybody. And all you had was your Bible, is all you had. I wonder what you would walk away with after a year. I wonder what you would believe that God wants to bring into your world. Without the noise of people saying, "Ah, I used to believe that, but you know, it didn't come through for me, so I don't think you can trust God for that." Or, "No, look, it sounds great, but practically it doesn't work." Or, "Yeah, no, I've been hugely disappointed." I wonder what you would believe about healing if all you had was the Bible and didn't have anyone else's experience around you. I wonder what you would believe about miracles if you didn't have anyone else around you to talk it down and dismiss it. I wonder what you would believe about prayer. I wonder what you would believe about finance if all you had was the Bible. And so let's just imagine for a moment this was you. So you open up to Genesis, which means the beginning. Did you know that? Genesis. It's a good name for a band, actually. Oh, sorry, it's already been taken. And so you'd start reading. In the beginning, God... Feel free to say amen at any point in time, by the way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, there's a move away from that these days. Oh, God couldn't have made it. You know, I mean, it says he made it in 6 days. I mean, my gosh, we know that the earth is millions of years old. So some people immediately, they just dismiss this. Oh, can I ask you a question? Do you know when God created Adam and Eve, did God create Adam as a baby or as a full-grown male? Was Adam a fully grown, mature male when God created him? Yes. Do you know when Jesus turned the water into wine, the Bible says that the wine he created was better than the wine they were drinking. Do you know the only way you can have wine taste better is when it's more mature. So when Jesus made brand new wine, he already made it mature and old. So when God created the earth, can he create the earth 16 billion years old? Of course he can. And can he do it within 6 days? Of course he can. Look, it's God here. You know what I mean? God can do whatever he likes. All right? Let's change the series. Let's do an evangelistic series right here and now. I'm fired up right now. You stirred me up. So you would believe that God created the earth and you would believe that God created man, that we didn't come from a slimy pit. Because you know, if you've come from a slimy pit, then you've got no purpose in life.
Yeah, that's it.
No, you were created by God. Why? So that you could love him and he could love you. So you've got a purpose. And then you would get down to about verse 28. And this is what you would read all by yourself. This is what you would read. And can you read it with me? Just pretend that you're the person reading the Bible. Here it goes. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So if you only had your Bible, what would you take away from that verse? Without speaking to anybody, you would conclude, and God blessed them. I want to suggest to you that God hasn't stopped blessing us. I'm going to say to you, Adam and Eve did nothing to deserve that blessing, but God spoke over their life, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. So listen, today, in Jesus' name, we are going to go on a journey where I am praying that I will convince you by the word of God that you're blessed. Listen, not only are you blessed, but that it's God's will for you to be blessed. I'm not going to say anything to you without putting some scripture up there so that the word of God can speak into your life and become an anchor to your soul. And if you have an issue with it, then go punch on with God. Is that okay? But don't shoot the messenger, okay? And by the way, why would you want to? Because I'm telling you that this is what the word blessed means. And tell me if we don't want this in our life, to be divinely or supremely favored. For God to be on your side. To be divinely, supremely favored, and to be fortunate. Now, as you would go on to read this magnificent Bible, you would see that that word comes up 495 times that you're blessed. So you can't sort of get around it. Oh, Pastor Richard, you pulled that one scripture. 495 times God says, I want to bless you. 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 I want to... Just as you're not starting to believe it, you read another verse and God says, here I am again. I want to bless you. You actually find the word prosper. Does anybody want to prosper? It simply means that things work out well for you. That word comes up 101 times in the Bible. I love that. As you continue reading, you haven't even finished the book of Genesis yet. You come across a guy called Isaac. It's Abraham's son. Have a look at what it says about Isaac. So here you are, just reading the Bible, and it says, then Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. How many times does God need to tell you in one verse, I want to see you win. I'm trying to help you win. He began to prosper. He continued prospering until he was very prosperous. And oh, but Pastor Rich, that's just maybe a bit of Old Testament. Now, by the way, I'm sure no one in this church thinks like that. I'm just battling this with my own mind. Now, believe me, there are people in this church that actually don't believe this. So I'm helping you today. And some of you are like, you're preaching to the converted? Great, I'm going to strengthen you. Because as you're going to see, there's a lot at stake. Okay, there's a lot at stake here. So as you pass straight through the Old Testament, you get to the New Testament, then you see the Apostle John, who was the closest person to Jesus. Besides the Apostle Peter, it was John that was very close to Jesus' heart. And this is what he writes. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Can I ask you a question? Does finance include all things? Absolutely it does. And then he says this, and be in health. And then he says, just as your soul prospers. Listen to what he's saying. You'll only prosper on the outside as much as you are prospering on the inside. Listen to what he's really saying. If you don't believe it in here, it's never going to happen out there. You need, as you're sitting right there, you need to say to yourself, God's called me to prosper. It's God's will for my life. He blessed them. Now remember, I started this by saying, what would you believe if you only read the word? You hadn't had time to experience anything just yet. Would you believe that you're called to prosper? Friends, you'd have to. You'd have to. But today, I want to challenge the poverty mentality. The poverty mentality says, I am very spiritual because I have nothing. And I'm very humble and I don't have much. Friends, that was a doctrine that came out about 500 years ago. And it went around the world, around the Christian church. Do you know all it did is it stopped the gospel in its tracks. It stopped the gospel. The enemy made poverty to be very spiritual. The more poor you were, the more people respected you. Come on, we've seen saints in pictures dressed poverty-stricken, and we respect that. Am I saying it's wrong? No, I'm not saying it's wrong. But didn't the Bible say, and God blessed them? So what are you going to do with all the patriarchs who God completely blessed financially? What are you going to do with them? Hey, listen, let me bring some balance to this. Not that we need balance, but let me just... You're no more spiritual if you are prospering. You're not loved by God more, and you're not despised by God, whether you're financially prosperous or not. Okay, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where this gets a bit crazy. And if you're rich, God loves you more. Are you kidding me? He died on a cross for me. He loves me no matter what. I can have a poverty mentality, he still loves me. I can be absolutely wealthy, he still loves me. God doesn't love us based on whether we have a poverty mentality or not. I'm just saying, if God's willing to bless us, why wouldn't we take on that mentality and be blessed so that God can do whatever he's trying to do in our life? Give someone a high five and say, let's be blessed. Let's be blessed. Let it come out of your mouth. Some of us are like, wow, I've never really heard this before. Great, you came on a great day today. I'm here to encourage you. Psalm 35 verse 27, it says, let them, here it goes, let them shout for joy and be glad who favour my righteous cause. Does anyone favour God's righteous cause? Okay, so it's talking to you. It says, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. And have a listen to this, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You know, when you start prospering, God takes great pleasure in that. For some of us, as we start to prosper, we feel like we have to sabotage it. It's like, wow, things are going way too well. This isn't God's will for my life. And so we start to sabotage because we have a poverty mentality and we are very awkward around being prosperous. Some of you are like, oh, I don't think I suffer with this. I guarantee you, if God gave you 10 homes right now and you were completely prosperous, some of you would really struggle with that. And you'd be thinking, this is not good. I need to get rid of a few of them. And maybe you should, to fund the gospel or whatever you're going to do. What I'm saying to you is, for some of us, we don't even want the responsibility of wealth. It's like, if I don't have it, he's always talking to him. He's always talking to her. God can't ask me for anything because I've got nothing. Really? Now, come on, we need to take on the responsibility of being blessed and say, God, if you want to funnel it through me, you're more than welcome to do that. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. God cares about your finances, friends. Let me tell you why. Because whenever I catch up with people, one of the greatest stresses in their life is money. If you think about it right now, some of you are so annoyed, you're so hurt because something didn't go well in your financial realm. You didn't get the contract you were hoping for. Someone ripped you off. Someone didn't pay you back. Finances are a huge... Some of you can't move out of home. And you ought to because it's really toxic. But you don't have money. Money's holding you back. I'm telling you today, allow God to bring some wealth into your world. Do you know why he can't bring it in? Because you don't even believe he can. Some of you are resisting God. God's trying to bring some great things into your world, but you don't believe you're blessed. But today we choose to be blessed. Amen. Friends, let me make this very clear. This is not about greed. This is not about greed. That's what the enemy wants you to think. No, the Bible says that we are blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. It's beautiful when people tell me that God's done a miracle in their life, that someone gave them $10,000. Like, I think that's amazing. Guess what, Pastor Rich? Someone gave me, I don't even know who it was, they gave me $10,000. What a miracle. Is it a miracle? Absolutely. But who would you rather be, the person receiving the 10,000 or the person who was able to write the check? Who would you rather be, the miracle receiver or the miracle maker? I'd rather be the miracle maker. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'd love to see miracles happen for people because I can just simply write them a check or offer them a bedroom in my home. Yeah. Helen and I have got a lovely home, and one of our daughters has moved out to Sydney and she's married now, so she shouldn't probably live at home. Hint, hint. Anyway, she's gone out there. So we've got this bedroom now. Now, you know, it's funny, we don't walk past the bedroom and go, just another nice bedroom. So blessed. Look at those four walls. Look at the paint. Look at the paint on those walls. Look at that square set ceiling. I just love this room. Friends, no, that's not, I can't believe we get the opportunity to actually allow some young people to come and stay in that room and be blessed. Come on, choose to be a miracle maker, not just a miracle receiver. Amen. Come on, be a miracle maker. Allow God to do that. Is anyone getting something out of this? Come on, it's fun to be a miracle maker. It's such a great position to be in. Deuteronomy 15:6 says this. It says, "For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised." Have a look at the very next thing that you'll do with that blessing. "And you will lend." It's just the very next thing you do. If you've got, you give. Because it's not just about you now. And you can. And then it says, "to many nations." And then it says, "but you will borrow from no one." In other words, your generosity is not going to send you into debt. It troubles me when people can only be generous by putting it on a credit card sometimes. God bless you. I love your heart. But I would much rather that you're giving out of your wealth rather than credit. It says you will lend, but you don't have to borrow. I pray that for you today. I pray that that becomes your world. This is the world that God calls us to. Does anyone care about the poor in this place? Does anyone care about the poor? Does anyone care about orphans around the world, people that are starving to death today? Here's Pastor Richard talking about blessing, and there's people starving to death in Africa. Are you kidding me? How is this a real message? The best way to help the poor is to not be one. I can tell you what they need over there. They need your finances and my finances. If we don't have it, then they still starve to death. The best thing that we could do for a poor person in our street, the best thing we can do for the people that don't have food is to bring the food that we can bring. So as we prosper, we give and we lend. The whole world is a better place, but let God bring finance and blessing to his people so that we can be a blessing to our world. That's what this is all about. God says you're blessed. He says you're blessed. And as he tells Adam and Eve, you're blessed, he then actually gives them the process to blessing. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, we know that he's actually talking about having children. Some of us would know, maybe all of us would know, that in order to have children, there needs to be an act that happens before that. Right? That's the fruitful part. One thing Helen and I worked out is that when we were having children, we didn't literally make the children in the womb. That was God's job. But without us, God couldn't do his job. Would that be right? So I want to teach you something today. When God says you're blessed, who blesses us? God does. So here's God over here. And then here's God over here saying, I want to multiply what you do. Because did you know, you can't multiply anything. Put a seed into the ground. Do you actually make it grow? Or does somehow God make it grow? Yeah, so multiplication, listen, is not your job. You being blessed is not your job. Your only job is to be fruitful. What does that mean? Guys, you've got to sow seeds in order to reap a harvest. You've got to sow seeds. And that's where God calls us into the miracle. But listen, you're sandwiched between two acts of God, but you are smack bang in the middle of it all. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says this. The Apostle Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it says, but God gave the increase. So let's go back to that verse about Isaac. Everyone loved the part about him prospering and he became very prosperous. But have a look at how the verse started. It says, and Isaac sowed. Isaac sowed in that land and he reaped in that same year, how much? 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. There's the three things I'm talking about today. He was blessed. God multiplied his blessing. But Isaac sowed. Do you want to be blessed? Oh, yeah, you've convinced me now. Sow. Sow somewhere. That was the angels agreeing. Finally, someone said it. Sow. Because if you were a farmer and you walked out of your farm and you said, God, send the rain. And God began to send the rain. God, bring the harvest. And there was no harvest. And you were getting disappointed and you're getting angry with God. God, where's my harvest? And then God says, you didn't sow any seed. Like, what am I supposed to bless? The air. And for some of us, we're saying, God, bless me. Bless me. Come on, God. If you're doing it for him, why can't you do it for me? And God says, What am I blessing? Where's the seed that you're sowing? Where's the seed? Now listen, for some of us, we think we're not being blessed. You're completely, if you've got a job, you're blessed. Okay, now I know that there's more, but what I'm saying is the Bible makes it very clear. If you want a huge harvest, you've got to sow lots of seed. That's the way it works, friends. So some of us want a huge harvest, but we don't want to sow what's required. I want to challenge you today. You're already blessed. God's going to do the multiplying. Our job is to do the sowing. Does anyone believe that today? Galatians 6:7, are you learning something today? I'm not trying to be overly inspirational, to be honest. I'm not trying to yell a lot. I just want to show you the word, and then we need to understand it for ourselves. It says, don't be misled. In other words, don't be deceived. In other words, don't believe the wrong things. It says, you cannot mock the justice of God. This is the way it's going to be. You always harvest what you plant. Friends, that's the most positive statement you could ever read in your life. Now, how do we know this to be true? Because, friends, this doesn't just work in your financial world. It works in anything. Let me give you an example. If you're feeling a little bit lethargic, feeling a little bit tired, I'm not talking about one day. I'm talking about for months. You've been feeling a bit tired, always want to go home and sleep. Do you know what? Anyone who's got some common sense would tell you. Do you know, you're probably unfit. And do you know what they would also tell you? If you want to reap energy and feel energetic, do you know what they'll tell you to do? Sow some energy. Go get on a treadmill. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Go play squash. Go sow some energy. 2 days later, you feel like, woohoo, feel great. How does that make sense? You got rid of energy, but now you've ended up with more energy. Friends, it's the law of sowing and reaping. Some of you just learned something right there, and all the personal trainers went, amen, hurry up. It's the truth, friend. If you're feeling lethargic, so if I'm feeling really tired, and that often happens to me, I will go for a run, and the next thing you know, I'm feeling fantastic. How does that work? Sowing and reaping. Whatever it is that you're needing in your life, you need to start seeding in your life. Okay? Whatever you're needing, start seeding. Do you want some people to say nice things to you? That's the harvest you want? I've got a heads up for you. Walk around and say nice things to other people. Walk around and just encourage others, because the Bible says, he who waters others will himself be watered. Some of us are looking for friendship. And it does amaze me sometimes that wish I was in the land of Canaan, where all times are not forgotten. Why that song? Why not? Nothing with a bit of American Trilogy going on around here, man, off this platform. What was I talking about? Something really important. Friendship. You can either stay at home and watch Friends, or you can go to a life group and make friends. Yeah? Anyone in our church, and I'm not exaggerating, any close friendship that I see going on in our church, when I ask them, where was that developed? They don't say at church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, in life group. What is life group? Just a small group of people meeting in homes right across our state, actually. It's awesome. They're everywhere. And if you want some sincere, close friendships, just get onto the website, go to Next Steps, go. Listen, they're waiting for you. They've actually got an empty chair. Honestly, they actually do this. They've got an empty chair saying, God, please bring someone into this group. They're waiting for you to come. And you're like, I don't have friends. Everyone's unfriendly. And they're like, God, please bring someone. Can you see the disconnect going? Just turn the TV off, get off Facebook, and go meet some people whose faces are in the book. And anyway. So it's really simple to see, friends. God always needs a seed that he can bless, and then he will do the rest. He promises to do the rest, but he does need the seed. Have you ever noticed with Jesus? Now, we all know Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus, right? So God is able to create the whole universe, but when he wants to feed 5,000 people on a mountain, he needs a little boy's fish and bread. Why couldn't he just go on, you know what, fish and bread, boom! And all of a sudden there was a Macca's there. Right? Fish burgers, fillet of fish. There you go, sir. There you go, sir. Right? Why did he require a fish and bread from a little boy? Because he always needs a seed. Jesus, there's no wine. There's no more wine. What am I, Dan Murphy's? What's going on here? Leave me alone. I've got Dan Murphy's written on my head. Why were you coming to me? But Jesus goes, okay. Now, listen, once again, he could have just gone, boom, Grange. But no, did you notice he goes, fill up those jars with water. And then he turned the water into wine. Why did he need the water? Because it's a seed. What are you wanting God to bless? Offer him something. And then he promises to bless it. Offer him something and he promises to bless it. You're so kind. Just give yourselves a round of applause, guys. You're so kind clapping like that. We had Pastor Steve Penny here a couple of weeks ago. Many of us enjoyed his ministry. And there was an older guy here. And he really felt, you know what, God, I'm just going to bless Pastor Steve. I'm just going to bless him because he's doing a good thing and I love him and he's been coming to this church. So anyway, writes him out a big check. Pastor Steve, by the way, he sent me a text. He said the offering that we gave him in our church was equivalent to the offering he gets from churches of 5,000 people. That's how generous you guys are to him. So I just want to take my hat off to you guys. You're amazing. But listen to this. This guy sows, and he even tells his son, I like this, he tells his son, he says, you know what, today I blessed Pastor Steve a little bit because, you know, I just love him. Well, that's Sunday. Come Monday, he opens up his email. He's just won a contract for $140,000. It's not your job for the multiplication, friends. God's just looking for the seed. Where's the seed? Is anyone going to give God some seed to work with here? Just give him something to work with. And so, you know what? He's prospering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. I'm going to finish with this. I love this. It says, remember this. Sorry, we got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. It says, you must each decide. You need to go back. Sorry. 6. There it is. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Is that okay that the Bible talks to you like that? How rude. How unfair is that? That the Bible's just being so rude about that. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Question, if you get a generous crop or a small crop, is that God's fault, God's problem, or is it us? Can we just be honest? It's us. Can we let God off the hook then? Okay. Only a small amount of seed, only a small crop. It's a farm. That's all a farmer expects. Why are we expecting God to do more than what he's promised? Having said that, he does multiply the one extravagantly, But if he does do that, then why wouldn't you sow two? And if he sows those two, if God multiplies the two extravagantly, why wouldn't you sow three? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then it says, remember this, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. I love this. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. This is what it's saying. You don't have to do anything. I love that. You want to just sit there and go, you know what, this is not for me. No problem. All good. But the person beside you, they want to prosper. They want to win. They want to be able to do well in life. So let's never be upset with the people that want to go forward. Let's just celebrate that. And maybe you should be praying for that so that they can write you a big check, because maybe you're the check receiver rather than the check writer. Let's be honest. So let's celebrate this as a church. So I just want us all to leave this place to say, you know what? I'm convinced. I think God really does want to bless me. I think God really does want to multiply my wealth. And I think God really does want to do something in my life. Do you know what's funny about all this? You know what's really funny? We have no problem believing in a virgin birth. Any of your friends have a baby recently that was a virgin? Anyone? Anyone? It's like, hey, a girl turned up to work. Hey, I'm pregnant. Because I'm a virgin. Anyone? No? No, none of us have ever seen that before. What about this one? Have you ever been to a funeral and all of a sudden the guy actually comes out of the tomb, out of the casket? Hey, guys, hey, what are you doing? No? Anyone seen a dead person rise lately? No. So none of us have seen a virgin birth before. We haven't seen someone rise from the dead before, which are the two elements to even be a Christian. The two elements you have to believe is that Jesus was born of a virgin, and the other element is that he rose from the dead. Is that right? So from the womb to the tomb, it's a miracle. But what about everything in between? Ah, God can't bless me though. I mean, he can raise a guy from the dead, but he can't help me get a contract. No. If he can sort it out from the womb to the tomb, he's got you covered. He's got you covered, friend. He's got you covered. He's involved. He's going to work. He's going to be part of our world. Come on, I want to see you completely blessed. Is that okay as your pastor? I really love you guys. I want to see you completely blessed. I want your biggest problem to go, what cruise do I go on? I just don't know. I mean, you know, please don't continually go on cruises. We do like seeing you at church too. But wouldn't it be great that you could be in a position where you go, Pastor Richard, where's the biggest need? And I'd say, you know what, Cambodia right now, the only thing holding them back from building more homes for kids that don't even have a home is our finances. That's the only thing holding us back. Planting more churches in Europe, the only thing holding us back is finances. So once we've gone on the cruise, how about we invest in the kingdom too? Hey? And guess what? God says, I will still multiply that seed. He'll multiply it. He's going to make it happen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.